My name is Veruska Calabria, as I was saying earlier, and today is the 21st of August 2009, and I'm here to interview you on behalf of the Wellcome Trust as part of an oral history collection of all of the people standing on the plinth. So can I ask you first of all to state your name, your surname, your age, if that's okay, and where you come from?
Yeah, my name's Neil Smith. My date of birth was 17th of the 2nd, 62, so it makes them 47. I'm from a little hamlet called Ellesmere Port in Cheshire.
So how did you get down today?
Via the train, so we went to Liverpool and caught the train straight through to Houston. Yeah.
And how are you feeling?
Very, very nervous, thinking, why have I done this? And yeah, but it's exciting as well as nerves, exciting, and it's one of those that months ago I thought, great idea. Now, when it comes nearer and nearer to it, I'm thinking, I don't know, why have I done it?
So what got you to apply in the first place?
I read it in the Times, and it just appealed to my just curious. So my girlfriend, who's very IT literate, once I say something, she does it. So hence, she organised it all. I'm more the ideas man. She actually makes things happen. So she's good in some ways, but then I end up here. So, yeah.
And what happened when you found out you had a place?
Well, that was the thing. I never thought I'd get a place. I was, because I'm a firefighter, and I was on a course at Morton in Marsh, and I heard she texted me. So that was quite, because I didn't think I'd get a place. It was one of those, you know, because I never win anything. You know, it's one of those people who doesn't enter things, you just don't win. So I was quite surprised I actually got a place. But like I say, yeah, that was months ago, and you think you're so confident, and suddenly it hits you now. Yeah, and I just like the idea of talking a lot, because a lot of people didn't know this existed. And I think it's just a good talking point, because everyone's saying what I should do, but that's not what I'm going to do. And that's what I think is quite fascinating about the concept. The fact is that everyone has got their own ideas, what they do in an hour. So yeah, it appealed to me.
Would you like to tell us what you're going to do?
My original thought was, I'm reading Charles Dickens' Oliver, and it's taken me forever, because it's like wading through treacle, because I'm not a reader as such, but I've just got into it, and I think I've got a bit off more than I can chew regarding Charles Dickens. So it was a homage to him. So I'm just putting in, I'm just wearing like a Dickens-esque sort of uniform as such. So I'm going to wear that. And my idea was just to read, try to finish off Oliver, but that's not going to happen because I'm nowhere near finishing it. So I'm going to still wear it. There's that, and also I feel that people don't dress up nowadays, and because it's all sort of, everything's sort of casual, isn't it? Even when you go to the theatre in London, everything's casual, jeans, and so it's a way of just saying that we should try to dress up a bit more. So that's another part of it, and I've got like a whiteboard, and I just want to mention a few people that's just affected my life, really. So I'm retitling my time on the plinth as One and Significant Others, and then I'm just going to write a few things about people who've just affected me. That's it, really. Yeah.
Okay, so it's just to bring you back, since you mentioned that you don't normally read, what got you to get into one of Charles Dickens' novels in the first place?
I've been reading the Times for about a year, and I've realised how uneducated I am. So the Times, I'm thinking, is the pinnacle of a newspaper. I was just trying to pick, to me, one of the pinnacle authors. So I actually dived into the deep end. I've read sort of populist novels or, but nothing this sort of, I don't know, this highbrow, but yeah, I just a bit perverse really. I just thought I'd dive in at the deep end and see what happened, but it is very, very hard. And he can muse over an expression for 2 pages, and I've got a portable dictionary that I am always looking at for the, because a lot of the words are sort of not used nowadays, and it is quite a complex read. Yeah, so it is. Yeah, so yeah, just my personality is a bit sort of strange at times. Yeah.
So what do you think you're gaining from reading this book?
Like I say, I've always felt that I've never got the most out of education. I think, I don't know, sometime, my girlfriend always says, when you're at the right time to be educated, you'll get, as a youngster, I never was that bothered. So to me, it's just a matter of getting a bit more educated, and just a bit more, I'm just fascinated by words as well. I just like words, and I'm fascinated by conversation and like question time. I do like, it's like verbally fighting with someone, and I quite like the idea of, rather than actually punch someone, to have a verbal contest. And I just, hopefully I might get there when I feel more, you know, it gives you more confidence as well, doesn't it, when you're more educated and you can feel you can hold your own in certain circumstances. So that's it really.
And will you be reading the book aloud?
No, I don't think I'll have time to actually read the book. It's going to be a case of, I'm taking it up there, because I don't know what's going to happen when you're up there. I don't know how you're going to feel. I don't know how it'll pan out. I've got a few ideas, and if the worst comes to the worst and things aren't happening, I'll just sit down and read my book. So there you go, yeah.
You also mentioned that you'll be writing names of people that are important to you on a board.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us more about why you chose to do that?
It's just a play on his, because one another. I just thought one and significant others to me. And it's a personal thing for me. Certain people that have affected me throughout my life. Just to sort of, because a lot of people are watching, and whoever said they're going to watch, I'm going to sort of mention them on this, just because I think if they're taking the time to go to the website, and I think, well, and it's something different, and it's just something that I just thought about. You know, what can you do in an hour? It's very limited, aren't you, to what? I don't want to make any money. I don't want to make any, because a lot of people, I don't see it in a different light. I don't particularly want to entertain people. I think I'm sort of quite funny-ish person, so hopefully that might come out. But I don't particularly want to stand there, and because everyone thinks I'm going to do something spectacular, and I think I'm not, because I don't know. But yeah, it's just an idea that I thought about. Don't know. That's it.
And who will you be mentioning?
Just stems back from my parents through to a couple of teachers that I quite liked. My girlfriend, who at the present time is very important to me, my children. I'm firefighters, a lot of people on my watch that I'm going to say a few, well, just write a few things, just, yeah. That's it. I'll probably be all over in about 5 minutes and I'll just be standing there reading my book, but who knows? But I don't know, we'll see what happens, yeah.
So I guess the next question is about how you're feeling. I know you said you're nervous. Have you got any particular hopes from this experience?
It's just away from the norm. And we're all on our little hamster wheels, aren't we? We come to work, go home, eat, sleep. And it's just out of that the normality of life. And that's all I'm going to get from it. The fact that it's just gives you a bit of, a kick, you know, we all need it. You know, you get into quite a boring routine sometimes, don't you? And I just like to occasionally just come out of that safe zone, you know, and it just hopefully give me a bit of a buzz, a natural buzz, you know.
Just to ask you about yourself a bit more, because
okay.
we are interested in, as I said earlier, in a portrait of the UK. Could you tell me more about your job, how you got into it and what it means to you?
I joined the fire service in 1981. I can retire on the Olympic year 2012, 30 years service. It wasn't a burning ambition, forgive the pun, to be a firefighter, but at the time I was just going through jobs. A guy came in who was a firefighter who sort of, I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I just went into it like that. I really enjoyed it. At the moment, not as much as when I first joined, because I think we're just getting safer. And we can't sort of play, we can't fight fires because everyone's too safe, which is a good thing, I suppose. But, you know, it's a lot of sort of things I'm doing now that we never used to do. We're in the community, making sure people are, you know, we go into events, we go into community events, whereby years ago, I don't know why, whether we're doing a good job, our community fire department are doing a good job, but we don't go to as many fires nowadays. So it's a lot of admin based work, which is not really my cup of tea. So I think I've reached a point that I could retire today. You know, I've done it, I've seen it, and that's it. But there you go. Yeah.
Is there anything else you hope to do after this career?
I've always wanted some arty type of career. I don't know, interior design or drawing or something away from the fire service, because it's never been, like I say, a desire to be a firefighter. I suppose it's a bit of a but yeah, something a bit more creative, hopefully. And I don't want to work for, you know, just a mundane job. I want to actually do something that I want to do. Not particularly for money, for just enjoyment, you know. Hopefully you could do that, but you need to pay the bills, don't you, still? But, yeah, there you go.
So tell me about back home, what it's like in the village where you come from.
It's not really a village, I was being a bit ironic there. it's Ellesmere Port. It's just a sort of normal sort of town. We've been affected a great deal by, because we've got Ellesmere Port, Vauxhall are there, and that's sort of a bit precarious at the moment. And there's a bigger oil refinery there, so there's a lot of jobs that are being sort of affected. So whether that will affect the actual people, because the jobs, the big employers are possibly going, you see. So there might be a sort of backlash from that. But where I live, Little Sutton, it's very nice. Neighbours are really nice. I've lived there for about 10 years. I've been, my girlfriend's lived with me for about six or seven. I enjoy living in Ellesmere Port. If I had the money, I'd move down south by the sea, but hey ho, it's a dream. It's always the lottery, isn't it?
Can I ask you also what's important to you right now in your life?
I don't know, it's just to be happy and healthy, isn't it? The older you get, the more you think. We take it all for granted, health, don't we? I know it's a bit, but we take it for granted. And just to be healthy and happy, and I think I'm relatively happy at the moment. My children, for them to be successful and happy as well, really. I've got a really good girlfriend who, you know, she inspires me, so I'm at a good place at the moment. So yeah, I'm quite happy, content. Yeah, it's good.
Would you like to tell us more about your girlfriend?
Well, we met through the fire service. She works in control. So we met years ago when I used to phone up with our staffing. It's just how many people is on duty. So I used to phone through, talk to her, and I talked to her for about a year and a half, and then her life went a bit skew-iff and she's separated from her husband, and then we got together. So that was, yeah, and we just clicked, and because I think I'm very idiosyncratic, and I think she is, but it's that because I was single for about 4 to 5 years, And the analogy I give is, you know, when you've got a jigsaw piece of a jigsaw, and you met some you met people, women, and you're forcing the pieces together just for someone, you know, just for companionship. Now she's actually my connection. Yeah. Because for years you're looking for that one, aren't you? You're looking for the one, and you just try, you accept things that you shouldn't accept. But I think I found she's pretty perfect for me. So yeah, she's good.
So what do you think makes it work between you two?
I think we can just get each other. We've both got our faults, and we've both got some good things, but we do just gel. We like each other's company, you know. It's that defining factor, isn't it? I don't think you could, if you could bottle it, you could probably make a fortune, couldn't you? On finding that person, who knows? But like I say, I've years and years been single. It's, you're looking for that person, aren't you? And yeah, and again, I found her through my job, which is unusual because it's predominantly men. And if you're gay, that's fair enough. But if not, it's quite a lot of couples meet through work, don't they? So it was quite unusual. We have got the added thing that we both find the job, as any job, frustrating. So we both come home and we're on the same watch. We're on Blue Watch. So she works the same shift. We work basically four on, four off. But after days, we come back and there's a little bit of friction because of all the frustrations of the job. Because we don't particularly adhere to some of the things, because a big corporation, they're not the best, are they, big corporations?
Who runs the firefighter service that you work for?
Cheshire Fire Service. But I think it's any big corporation. I think you'd find it frustrating.
So is your girlfriend here today?
Yeah, she'll be watching, yes, yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go now because
okay.
I'm going to play guitar next door, so we've been recording the music.
All right.
But thank you so much.
Okay.
Good luck
Thank you.
Today.
Thanks.
And I hope you enjoy the experience.
Cheers, thank you very much.